ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, we are just a few days away now at this point from the trade deadline. We've seen the Titans already move on from Brownlee. McCreary traded this last week. So what else do you kind of have your eye on if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan this week? Getting through, obviously, the weekend, the game Sunday, we'll see what else happens around the league. But what are maybe one or two moves the Titans could make before deadline day comes around?
Yeah, I think you need to look at Arden Key, Chigakonkwo. Those are guys that could end up on the move. But at this point, you know, someone like a Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, those are guys that have kind of been tossed around. I don't know for sure that they do anything with them, you know, especially with Ridley and that ongoing hamstring, and even Pollard with the neck. So, but Key, Chigakonkwo, yeah. Sunday may be the last time you see 85 in a Titans uniform.
See, he's another guy, TD, that, and, you know, look, I don't like the combo of McCreary and Brownlee when you put it together, just because, you know, you're basically the entirety of that, along with Snead, you know, probably being done, is that you have to totally redo that position group when your roster has so many other position groups that need serious addressing. And I know that, like, Chig hasn't been great. But to me, like, if you're getting, I don't know, what, like a fifth or sixth, you're getting a third-day pick back for Chig, isn't he, like, don't you need to keep some young guys around here? Or am I overreacting to that?
No, you're not overreacting at all. We're actually sharing a brain there, especially when you talk about a Conquo. Look, man, you know, it's all about making things Cam Ward-friendly, and I think Chig does that. I mean, if you look at it right now, is there anybody – in the receiving core or pass catchers, period, that is better yards after catch-wise? You know, and what's the whole thing that they're working on with Cam? And even if you look at what Cam said earlier in the year, hey, man, I got to keep myself from getting killed by getting the ball out of my hands and into their hands and letting them make plays. Well, he's probably your biggest playmaker as far as, like, once he catches the ball and goes. So to let go of that, it wouldn't be wise, in my opinion. I don't think re-signing him would be extra expensive either. So that's just a move that if I'm Borgonzi, Brinker, and that crew, I'm keeping him, and I'm extending him. You know, it's different than with McCreary, where, you know, the projection was, what, 4 years, $60 million. Hey, man, Rodgers is a solid nickel corner, but not for $60 million. You know what I mean? So there's a difference there.
TD, what have you made of how Sweat has looked since coming back in the lineup? And kind of long-term here, knowing that, you know, there's already been changeover and the general manager who drafted him is no longer here. How do you kind of view him in terms of what his long-term future could look like here with the Titans?
Well, I think Sweat has a lot to prove, right? He has to show them that he could, you know, make it through a stretch of a season without, you know, being injured or having the issues, you know, and I think that's the main thing. It's almost like he has to re-win over this group, you know, and that's a tall order, especially without Jeffrey Simmons out there, you know. And you saw him last week, and, you know, there was good, there was bad. But, I mean, if you go back and look at the end zone view of that Colts game, I mean, there's a few times that you could drive a Mack truck through that hole. You know, and those are the things that can't happen when you have a guy like that who you invest the heavy draft capital on to keep from those holes being opened up.
So what are we seeing here with Jamari DK, TD? Obviously, the guy can run. I think he's clearly exceeded expectations. I don't think there's any question. There's a lot more talk about Io Manor, and he's been solid too. But with DK, I feel like we're seeing maybe something – significant, or what do you think his ceiling is, and where do you think it goes for him from here?
Yeah, I think you're seeing the birth of something special, to be honest with you. And for me, what I've really liked about these last 4 or 5 weeks is actually just talking to him and getting to know him. He gets it. You know, you look at some of the things that he said, right? You look at Monday, you know, he was asked, you know, why does he keep going? What motivates him? He's like, yo, I'm blessed to be in this situation. I worked all my life to get to this point, and it's a blessing. So every day I come in understanding that. Couldn't have a better mindset, right? And then you look at the physical ability. Derek Mason, D-Mace, he said it, and I took it back to Tim, and the smile on his face was so funny. But he said, you know, he kind of reminds him of Percy Harvin. Now, let's not get it twisted. Percy Harvin was a premier playmaker, and Chim isn't there yet. But that type of all-purpose usage, I could see that. You know what I mean? And so that's, to me, what I think this could develop into, something along those lines, where it's like you got a guy you could just as a weapon, and he could do everything you want him to.
Where are you at on Latham right now? Obviously, the hip injury, you know, derailed things earlier in the year, and you know, the first game he's back in there after the hip injury, you're staring down the barrel of Max Crosby, looking at the other side. What have you made of kind of how he's rebounded since then?
Yeah, I mean, he's had his ups and downs. I think he could still be a more consistent blocker. You saw him get beat a couple times, you know, this past week, and it's things that you got to try to avoid. But to me, I think I'm pretty sure it's the right hip, and so with it being the right one, like when you're kicking back, you know what I mean? Yep. That's the one that you're landing on and resetting. So I'm not giving the man an excuse, but I just wonder if that's something that he's still just trying to get down pat.
So TD, we're talking earlier about Cam Ward. You know, you've got a pursuit here for the Titans of the number one pick. I mean, they're going to be right in there for that. And if they get that, I mean, that could be, you know, that could, especially if there's a QB, and there usually is, that people start to covet, like a Mendoza or whoever, that could really be a heck of a bonus for them. But at the same time, even if Cam Ward develops, it seems to me like you want to be able to win some games. I mean, you want good numbers, you want better mechanics, all that stuff, but also, you know, a quarterback who wins some games, I feel like that's big for the quarterback, for the team around him, for the fan base. How do you balance, I guess, that? Not, and of course the Titans are trying to win, Cam wants to win, but if you're a fan of, you want your team to get the number one pick, but also, like, how important is it for, do you think, for Cam Ward, not just the technical development, but that he sees some wins and has some performances that lead to wins this year going into next year?
Yeah, I think it would help if he has some performances that lead to wins. But honestly, to me, Cam's development and growth isn't about wins and losses, right? And I think, you know, Xavier Restrepo said it best, it's about wins and lessons. And that's really the main thing. He has to we don't have time to go over all this stuff, but, I mean, and we know the things that he has to get better on. I think that's the main thing, is just him developing as a player. And as a fan, it's like, yeah, you want to go out and you root for your team, but you got to understand, like, this is one of those years. It's a developmental year. I saw it in Philly, man. Trust the process. And, I mean, of course, that process didn't lead to a championship, but the Sixers – you know, they're a consistently competitive team, and I think that's kind of what this Titans team is going through, to be honest with you. Now, I'm not saying they're tanking or doing any of that, but they're just losing games. And to me, it's all about the process of development.
TD, how far will you throw your laptop this weekend if the Titans get the ball on the 42-yard line on 4th-and-3 and decide to punt?
you know what? Maybe you'll see me. Remember when Calvin Ridley dropped that Cam Ward pass against the Broncos?
Yeah.
And Calvin Ward got up like he leaned on that railing like he had a stomach ache. I may just do that. Not because I'm a fan of this team, but just because I get frustrated when bad things happen.
Oh, yeah.
Football wise. So yeah, that could end up being the case.
I mean, in all seriousness,
you could just smack Buck or something too.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean,
make yourself feel better.
Look, I think we all know that the chances that Mike McCoy ending up with the actual head coaching job when this all started is basically next to zero. But to me, like, that's the end of it right there. Just go hire another head coach. Don't overthink it, Amy.
Yeah. He did say, hindsight 2020, of course, but he said he regretted not going for it on that 4th-and-4. and I get it. You know, it's got to be tough to be in his position, but
oh yeah,
you still got to make a better decision in that case.
So real quick, TD, on the coaching front, are there any assistants here right now that you could see the new coach should be a priority for the new coach to possibly retain?
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to be – we talked about it. I talked about it with Nick yesterday on Next Man Up. I think it's really dependent upon what style coach. You get an offensive coach, he's probably going to lean more into the defense. So let's look at it like that. Offensive coach, I say Frank Bush. You know, it's tough, man, because these guys are good coaches. I'm seeing stuff that they're teaching happen in games. So I really couldn't say any – individual ones. I honestly think, you know, defensively that group is solid. Maybe Steve Jackson, maybe not him, rather, because the safety play has been, you know, subpar. But yeah, receiver wise you know, Tyke Tolbert for sure. You know, I think Luke Stocker, you know, those are some of the ones that come off the top of my mind that I think. You know, Hardigree, I think you could move on from him. But you have to consider just because of that relationship he has with Cam.
Well, TD, awesome stuff as always, man. Always appreciate your time and your perspective. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a good weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, for sure. Time to get back to my shadow box.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Teron Davenport every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We will react to what TD had to say. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. Rex Rhodes grinning over there, which is always dangerous.
Well, I got – you know, there's some of these things about candy, Halloween candy.
Yeah.
You know, be careful. Someone just sent us – be sure to check your kids' candy for Titans tickets. Stop it.
The horror. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.